Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. Gary Harps is here, ladies and gentlemen. He's our guest and our good friend and a member of my brain trust. He is he's been a highly effective, highly successful business owner and entrepreneur as well. And he made his career in the software industry. But now he writes books and talks about things that will help you and me do a better job in our business. He is he developed the six disciplines strategy. His book, The Six Disciplines for Excellence, is excellent, and his new book is called Six Disciplines Execution Revolution is just out, and he's our good friend, Gary Harps. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back, and, Gary, before we get into the, I want to talk about some research that you have been studying and getting involved in with that the SBA produced, but I want to ask you a question before we get into that.
Sure.
I believe that there have been so many paradigm shifts where things have kind of gone back to zero, as Joel Barker, I think, would describe it, in the marketplace in the last 12 months, let's say. And I think there are going to be more shifts in the next 12 months. When things like that happen, when things go back to zero, when things reset, as I think many of them are doing right now, that creates an awful lot of opportunity. And I think that small business owners have a unique opportunity right now to really get involved in creating a revolution of excellence that this marketplace and this economy, not only nationally but globally, that is very much needed right now. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with it, and it reminds me of my family a few years ago went to vacation in Yellowstone, and one of the things they teach you in Yellowstone is that they used to worry about forest fires.
Right,
and now they let them burn. try to do it in control. But the idea is that the forest is more healthy when you occasionally clear it, and then you have all kinds of new, fresh growth. And I think that's the analogy. Lots of stuff gets fixed when this kind of conditions occurs, and it's really a huge opportunity. And small businesses, because they're more nimble, can really adapt faster. So
not only that, Gary, not only the nimble, because I agree with you on that completely, but also I think small business values are what the global marketplace needs more of and less Wall Street values. Small business owners believe in themselves and the marketplace and their customers. Wall Street doesn't believe in anything. And I think Wall Street is a derivative of Main Street. I think nothing happens on Wall Street until somebody sells something on Main Street. And I think it's time the dog took control of the tail again. What do you think?
Well, I hadn't thought of it that way, but I agree. I do agree with you. And so hopefully that's what's getting burned up. Some of the derivative that's lost sight or lost connection with Main Street.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, and so this is why what I'm telling my audience, and I believe that's the message that you're getting across in your own way, that when you talk about an execution revolution, one of the things that execution does is it adds value, doesn't it?
No, it sure does. Absolutely.
And excellence adds value, and see, that's the problem we've had, Gary. We've had so many transactions in the last several years that added no value. They just were a transaction to create a fee, but not to add value to the marketplace, to the economy. And I think those are the values that Main Street can bring to this revolution. What do you think?
Well, I agree with it. It makes you somewhat concerned about some of the efforts that are being thrown at trying to avoid the correction, if you will.
Right. That's right.
We have to be careful about that.
No question about it. You're talking about the government attempts to fix things, and when actually they're part of the problem. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, they prolong getting really the remedy applied.
They prolong the inevitable, don't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that's where they are in the automobiles. But anyway, thanks for letting me get that off my chest. I feel a lot better now, Gary.
I appreciate it.
Let's talk about this research that you've been studying from the SBA. And I'm not sure, but I suspect that this is research that was conducted by our friend Chad Moutray, the chief economist there at the SBA.
Well, I'll have to check the source. It was published on their website in June, and it was called High Impact Businesses or something to that effect. But what really caught my eye was this is a study that's been repeated multiple times over the last couple of decades, and the basic premise of this study was that in America, economic growth is driven by what they call high-impact businesses. And a high-impact business is one that gets into a growth mode such that they double in revenue over a four-year period, and that has an echo effect in the community. You know, it adds employees, mm-hmm. and those employees buy things from other people. And so they're not the growth, not the economy itself, but the increase in the economy is driven by these high-impact companies. Now, interestingly, it's a phenomenon that has nothing to do with geography or industry. They studied every county in the United States and found that this was generally true. You know, between 2 and 4% of businesses, average 3%, are driving the growth. Now, here's what's really interesting. These high-impact companies, when they study them, they find that it takes them about 17 years to emerge before they show up.
Like a cicada.
Yeah, that's right, a cycle. It takes them a long time to figure it out and get into that high growth mode.
You know, folks, the bug that makes all the noise, there's one of their cycles that the larva only hatches out every 17 years.
That's a great analogy. I'm going to use that.
yeah, you call it the cicada effect.
Yeah, that's great. And so anyway, they show up after this period of time, 17, 20 years, and then here's what's really interesting. They go through this high growth, and then 3 out of 4 of these high-impact companies cease to be high-impact companies after
What happens? Do they get acquired, or do they just implode, or what happens?
The study doesn't show what happens to them, but we have done some research on our own, six disciplines.
Hold on to that thought, Gary. I want to find out. This is fascinating stuff, folks. Gary Harps is a great management mind that I certainly enjoy listening to, and he'll be back with us right after this break. His book is called Six Disciplines, Execution Revolution. 20 after. Stay with me. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Bruce Hornsby in the range bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the mothership. Then our knowledge base where you get small business answers now is askjim.biz. And then my blog is jimsblog.biz. But if you'll just remember the mothership, smallbusinessadvocate.com, that's where you can go to get all the things that we do here, and you can link to the blog, you can link to the knowledge base, and you can also subscribe to my free newsletter, which I hope you'll do. It comes every Sunday afternoon by email, gets you ready for the week ahead. So check that out and use all that stuff to your advantage. There's no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff. And if you when you go to my blog, be sure to leave a comment. Let me know what you think about some of the things that I posted there. Gary Harps is our guest, and he's our good friend, member of our Brain Trust, author of Six Disciplines, Execution Revolution. And, Gary, give us your website. Tell us how we can find your books.
SixDisciplines.com is our website, and the tour I'm talking about is described on my personal website, GaryHarps.com.
So the books and that's are available H-A-R-P-S-T, by the way, folks, H-A-R-P-S-T. Go ahead, Gary.
Say, I wanted to put an unsolicited plug in. Your website is awesome. I was out there just today, and I echo what you said. It's a great resource for your listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so you were just about to tell us when we went to the break, you were just about to give us a big piece of information.
Yeah, I was going to tell why what we've learned about why this phenomenon of high impact companies only lasting 4 years. And a little sidebar here: next year I'm going on this tour, 50 city tour, where we're trying to go to communities to get them to realize that if they could increase that 3%. You know, the number of businesses that stay in there 4 years to four mm-hmm. and a half or 5 years, that would be a significant increase in economic growth.
Right.
And we call it the 3% speed limit. We think there's a way to break it. So let me talk about the reason for just a second. What happens is that businesses eventually outgrow their ability to execute. And mm-hmm. so when they get into this high-impact stage, they start hitting on all cylinders for the first time, and they start getting more customers, they start getting more revenue, and they start getting more employees. And everything's going along for a while, but after a period of time, the organization grows enough that it doesn't work as well as it used
mm-hmm.
to.
And the management isn't prepared to, doesn't have the skill to manage it at that size. They run out of capital, or they get confused about their real goals in life.
Well, that's right, and a lot of them have never been there before, so they're growing
right.
into a new territory, and the problem shifts from getting all the product and services right to hiring right, keeping the right people, getting everybody on the same page and keeping them there, and it's a whole different skill set, and we call it outgrowing the ability to execute, and every business eventually does it.
And so they either collapse, or they sell out, or occasionally, and I've seen this happen a few times. And selling out is selling to a bigger company. That's a good thing. I mean, that's one of the exit strategies. That's an outstanding exit strategy for that entrepreneur. But another thing I've seen here, and you probably have too, some people say, you know what? I'm smart enough to know I'm not the guy who needs to, or the gal who needs to lead this company into the future. I'm going to hire a professional management team that can do that.
Yeah, they do, and I think there's a third option that is probably the most frequent, which is the that they don't even understand what's happening to them, and they kind of just flounder. They don't die.
That's what I meant when I said they implode. They collapse on themselves.
But they don't go up. You know, they don't. It's more what I had a board member once call it being stagnant. You know, you just stay at the same level and keep mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to punch through it, and mm-hmm. years go by and you don't figure it out. So the causes, now that's what's really interesting, mm-hmm. is why do they outgrow it? And I think one of the analogies that's the easiest to understand is a business model that is one of my favorites is Weight Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about all of us struggle to stay fit. And it isn't because of lack of knowledge. We know the things we should do to stay fit, but we don't.
We know that if we don't put food in our mouth, we won't get fat.
And we know we should exercise and all those things.
Right.
And it's much the same in a business setting. Most leaders know they should spend time planning. They know they should spend time with each of their team members and help them understand where they're going and why. And they know they need to hold them accountable. And they know so many of these things, but the truth is human nature is such that most of us don't do the things we know we should most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so Weight Watchers has figured out a formula for this that is very successful. You know, they built a $3 billion business out of doing something very simple,
right.
which is come in, get weighed, and that's the technology
mm-hmm.
piece, if you will. They have somebody across the table tell you what you weigh and whether you're up or down. That's the coaching piece.
Yeah.
The face piece, and then they give you a checklist that says, you know, eat more vegetables, drink more water,
right.
Get more exercise.
Right.
That's what we call the methodology piece, and then they have you gather with a group of people.
I need you to wrap it up, Gary. I'm out of time. Go ahead. Finish it.
Well, they
finish
just gather with a group of people who talk about the same thing, and that formula works.
Yeah. Gary, will you come back and talk to us some more about this real soon?
Sure.
I'd like to pursue this thought with you in the future when we have more time. Hey, thanks for being here. Gary Harpst, ladies and gentlemen. That's Gary Harpst, HARPST.com. He'll be back, I promise. We got a lot more to talk about with him. Quick break, 29 after. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.